Morning. If you would turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we'll be having our lesson this morning. It's good to be with everybody today. The song Michael just sang is a good one to introduce us into the lesson. You'll see why as we go along. But, you know, we have thought a lot in the past couple of years how we can have hope when we're undergoing hardship, because we probably had more hardship in the past 18 months or so than maybe some of us have experienced in a while. And we need to have hope during trials, and hope when things in life are not going according to plan, hope when you're feeling alone or when you're anxious, and when tempted, and these kind of things. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5 says, "He who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." Well, what is being talked about here? If you've ever been in an organization that wants to come up with a mission statement, if you ever go through any kind of training, that's one thing that you'll be asked to do, is come up with an elevator speech. And what they mean is, how would you describe what you do, or how would you describe your company in just a few words? If you had just an elevator ride with somebody, how would you describe that very succinctly? Corporations have vision statements or purpose statements, or mission statements, so they don't lose sight of what it is that they do. They don't lose sight of why it is that they exist. And when God gives us a mission statement or a purpose statement, then it helps us to learn what God is saying about what it is that is important for us. Well, verse 5 here says, "He has prepared us for this very thing." Well, what is this very thing that He is talking about? And we have to look at the context here to see what it is that Paul is talking about. What is this very thing that we have been prepared for, that God has given us the Spirit as a guarantee? So let's back up into chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Paul says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, 'I believed and so I speak,' we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into His presence. For it is all for your sake, that so as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase with thanksgiving to the glory of God." So when you look here in the middle of 2 Corinthians 4, Paul describes the experiences that he has gone through with his body. And we know some of that from what we have been discussing in our series in Acts. Paul was afflicted. He was persecuted. He was struck down. And so certainly we can see that. In verse 7, he says that he is always being given over to death so that the life of Jesus can be seen. And you can see that from the book of Acts and everything that Paul did, that he was constantly experiencing these things. And I want you to see here the thing that Paul is talking about. He's not really talking about experiencing things that are related to old age or bad health, but he's really talking about and not because of old age. But when we read this and we talk about the jars of clay and the things that are afflicting people, Paul was afflicted in different ways. He was willingly and voluntarily giving his body over to the cause of Christ. And Paul even says here in verse 12 that death is at work in us, but life in you. And so I think this is really talking about the sacrificial life that Paul is having here, that I am sacrificing my life for you. And so it really goes back to a lot of things we studied in the book of Acts. He was constantly staring at the prospect of death. And he endured so much for the sake of Jesus. So how did he continue? What kept Paul going on when he was being given over to death? And you would think that some might give up. And depending on who they are, they might. But he is not one that's giving up. He's not one that lost heart. If you look at verse 16, he declares why it is that you don't lose heart. He says, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day." And so what kept Paul going on when he was being given over to death? How are we and the Corinthians encouraged to keep going on when you are experiencing persecution or physical suffering or the prospect of death? I think death has probably been on a lot of our minds and the things that have been going on in the world right now. I know that there are several of us here that in the past few years, many of us have lost our fathers. And sometimes our fathers were not of an old age. And I'll just tell you that sometimes when I come in contact with contemporaries of my father, people that my father grew up with and were around the same age, and I see that they are going into old age healthy and that they are still working in the kingdom of God. And Rex and I have had this discussion before. It makes me a little jealous that I lost my father. Because here are some that are older. My father didn't make it to that old age. And of course, I know if I could talk to my father now, he'd say, "I'm fine. I don't want to come back." And so that's something that I have to remember, and we all do. And we'll talk more about that later in the lesson. But what I'm getting at here is that we are living in a time that we come in contact more and more with death, and we know people that are close to death or those that are close to us that have died recently. But what Paul says here in verse 18, he says, "We look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen." Going back to the song Michael was just singing, "To Canaan's land, I'm on my way." We're going to that land that is not seen, that we have not seen. And so looking forward to that, Paul says, "For the things that are seen are transient or temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal." And so what happens as we get older, these jars of clay, these temporary bodies, they deteriorate. And it shows what about our bodies? It shows that they were not meant to be eternal. They were not meant to last forever. That this is a natural process. And if this life was all that it was about, God would not have given me this body. God would have given me something more permanent. I know He could have done that. If He wanted to do that, He could have given us bodies that would not age, that would be perfect for a long period of time. And I hope that you can hear this in Paul's word. Paul is talking about this inner self and this outer self, and they are different. The inner self and the outer self are different. The outer self is temporary. And he says it's because it is seen. The inner self is eternal, and you can't see it. The wasting away of our outer bodies is supposed to renew us inwardly. And so the breaking of our bodies, the deterioration of our bodies, the destructible part of our bodies is so that we don't look at that as eternal. We don't look at the physical and the temporary as being something that's permanent, or we shouldn't. So the breaking of our bodies is intended for us to move on, to move our complete dependence on God and not on ourself. In verse 17, Paul says, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." The physical affliction that they were enduring was preparing them for something eternal. Eternal glory that is beyond all comparison. The wearing out of the physical body is unavoidable. Nobody here is getting out of this life alive. You're not getting out of here alive. None of us are. As much as we like to think that we are, our bodies are going to break. And those of you that are young, you know, in your teens and 20s, and everything's great with your body, it's not going to be that way when you get older. Our bodies deteriorate. They're going to break. They're going to die. But Paul says, don't get upset about that. Don't lose heart because your body is breaking. Because he says, this is supposed to happen. You don't lose heart because you're giving your bodies over to the Lord for His sake and His service. Our hope is in that our bodies are not intended to last. He says, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. He's saying you do not want this to be eternal. You don't lose heart because your body is not intended to last. Our hope is that we offer our bodies in service and sacrifice to the Lord and not cling to the earthly body. So that brings us to chapter 5. And this hope is described here in the first 5 verses of chapter 5. He says, "For we know that if the tent, that is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not have been found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He has prepared us for this very thing as God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." So our hope here is described that we have something more than this body that is waiting for us. We know that if the tent of our earthly body is destroyed, we have a building from God. Most of us have probably have had a tent at one time or another. And, you know, we have a back patio that's not covered. And over the years, I have bought the pop-up tents to put over the grill and things out there. And, you know, what has been interesting about those tents is that when we have a storm or we have bad weather, if that thing is not secured, it's going to go away. It's going to get bent. And for the money that I have spent on tent after tent after tent that has been destroyed, we probably could have built a permanent fixture out there. We could have built a house or a structure, a building. And so Paul uses the expression here of the tent versus the building. And we know one is permanent, one is not. You know, it's designed here to be a contrast. And so tents don't hold up. You can drive up and down neighborhoods and you can see tents in people's backyards that are ripped and they're torn, they're discolored, they have not lasted. And if anybody bought a tent to go camping when they were young, that's not something that they have kept for decades and used that same tent over and over. It probably did not last. It is a temporary structure, but a building is meant to be permanent, is the verbiage that Paul is using here. He says, we have a building from God. And this is a reality. He said, we know that if the tent is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God. So he said, don't worry about the tent. Don't be concerned about the tent, because it's going to be destroyed. So he's here looking forward to the time when you don't have the pain of the body anymore, or the weariness of this life is done, so that you can have your eternal home. I hope we can think here about what Paul says, and that we have the same attitude that he has, that we are longing for that. If our longing is to set these bodies aside so that we can receive what God has in store for us, that's what Paul is saying that he wants. He says, for in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. But I'm not convinced that is what we want. We want to keep the tent. We want to keep the tent in good shape. And so Paul says, that's not what it's about. It's our longing to be eternal. And that's where verse 5 comes in. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we have been prepared for this very purpose. What is the purpose we've been prepared for? We have been prepared for setting aside the tent. We have been prepared for setting aside the mortal for the eternal. And here, I want you to pay special attention to verse 4, because I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not. It kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. But verse 4 says, but while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. What would you expect Paul to say? That does not sound right. That what is mortal may be swallowed up by life? Because what is mortal should be swallowed up by death. That's what we expect. We expect mortality to end in death. Mortality to be swallowed up in death. So you see how easy it is for us to look at this backwards. We think, well, I'm living now, and then I die. Paul says that you are dying now, and then you live. That's not the way that we think. We think, I'm living now, and then I die. Paul says, you're dying now. Your tent is going away. Your jars of clay, you're temporary. You're groaning. Things are deteriorating. The mortal is swallowed up by life. So we are not losing life. We are gaining life. So let me say it in a different way. Everything that we do while we are in this body is to prepare us for life when we leave this body. And I know that we know that. God made us this way, and this is the way that the world works. This is the way that God intended it to work. And Paul says that the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of this for what is to come. So if you believe that your sins are forgiven, and you believe that you have been brought out of darkness into light, and you are God's child, then you have that hope for when you leave the tent, for when you leave this body. Paul says you have the building from God. You know it, and you long for it, and you don't long for here. And that You know, as children who have lost parents, children who have lost fathers, children, people who have lost loved ones, you know, we miss that relationship. But we also have to know that those that are faithful to God are getting what they worked for. They have left the bad body, they left the tent, and went to the building. So Paul said, you don't long to stay here. You don't long for this body. You don't long for the tent. And we long for the eternal body that God has prepared us for. And that is our hope. So in verses 6 through 10, he says, so we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So Paul here gives another reason for hope and confidence. And our hope is that while we remain in the body, while we remain in the tent, we're not where we want to be. We're not with the Lord. We are away from the Lord. And so we are going to be better on the other side of death, not worse. And right now, you know, we are away from that. We are not experiencing that glory of being with the Lord. That's what Paul is saying. That while we're here, while we're in this body, we're not there yet. We're not where we want to be. And you notice where Paul's heart is. He said, I would rather be away from the body and home with the Lord. That's what he looked forward to. But so many times, we are the opposite. I don't want to leave the tent. Don't want to leave the tent. I'm not ready. And so that is a great heart check for us. Would we rather be here or would we rather be there? We read about Daniel and Daniel's three friends, Stephen, the apostles, and so many who followed God and did not hold on to life at all cost. Daniel and his friends, or his three friends that were cast into the fiery furnace, said, you know, if God saves us, so be it. But if not, you know, we're not going to bow to you. Stephen, who preached the gospel regardless of what would happen to him. These were all people that were ready to give their lives because of that hope that looked beyond this life and looked to the life that is to come. So what Paul is saying is that death is not the thing that we look at and say, that I've got to avoid this at all costs. I've got to do everything I can so that I can stay in this tent. Paul is saying that I'm looking beyond that, that mortality must be swallowed up by life. And I keep going back to that phrase because it's so different. It's so different from our thinking that mortality is going to be swallowed up by life. No, mortality is swallowed up by death. When we lose mortality, we die. No, mortality is swallowed up by life, is what he said. Separation from the body is necessary so that we are no longer separated from the Lord, is what Paul is saying. So you walk by faith and not by sight. And sight is telling us this is all that there is, and it's the end when the body dies. But faith is saying this is the beginning, where when the body dies, that is the beginning. And so the application for us is to make sure that we are aiming to please the Lord, because, you know, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And that's the simple, you know, thing that Paul tells us here. That if you want for mortality to be swallowed up by life so that you are at home with the Lord, enjoying the building that He has made for you and not the tent, then what do? Then you stop making the aim to please yourself You start making your aim to please the Lord. And if you live your life making it your goal to please yourself, then, yeah, you need to hold on to the tent. If you make life about yourself, then you don't have the hope of life. And verse 10 reminds us of something very important. Verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." That we're going to receive what is due for us. That there is accountability. That judgment is something that is certain. And Paul says that we all must do this. And so this is just as certain as you giving up your body, your mortal body. You are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So, we need to ask ourselves some questions. What is your goal in life? Is your goal to make a lot of money so that you can retire and carry out, you know, some kind of hobby? There's a friend of mine that works for a vendor partner of ours, and he's getting close to retirement. Every time I talk to him, he's telling me how the work on their house is just about complete, and they're doing this and this and this. All he can talk about is, "I can't wait to stop. I can't wait to stop working, and I can't wait for this to be finished because I'm so tired of this, and I'm looking forward to just sitting on the beach and doing nothing." That's his goal, because he talks about it all the time. Is that what our goal is? Make lots of money and be lazy? Or to wait for the new series of whatever it is that we're watching on Netflix so that we can, you know, binge watch? Or, you know, travel the world and see what we can see? Or to do nothing and sit at home? And I think that's sometimes our goal. But what Paul says is that we need to have other goals. Verse 11 says, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others, but what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience." Paul is saying that with your final breaths, you need to be doing the right thing. And what he is doing with his breath is he is persuading others. That I hope that you know the fear of the Lord and you are doing what would be consistent with knowing the fear of the Lord. That you are going to stand before the judgment seat. And if when we stand before the judgment seat, what will we say that we did with the time in our tent? And so and during these times where we see tents failing, what is it that we need to concentrate on? Well, number one, if we need to think about ourselves and whether or not, you know, we are prepared to leave the tent. As our health fails and our outer self is wasting away, we look to the eternal building that God has prepared us for so that we can put on life. We look forward to being at home with the Lord. Are we ready for that? Are we preparing for that? Are we using our body for that purpose? Or will it all end in regret? So it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is very interesting in what Paul says. Paul is obviously very confident that what he is undergoing right now, he's done with that. He's ready for that to be over. And he's ready to move on so that mortality can be swallowed up with life. So we need to look at life in this way, at a time of preparation, but it's a temporary time. It's not meant to be eternal. Your body is not meant to be eternal. It's meant to glorify God and to prepare to be with Him. So I hope these things will be useful and an encouragement to you, and that you can use it to encourage others also to be prepared. If we can help you in any way, we'd invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time that we can be together. We're thankful for this Lord's Day where we have all come together with common goal of worshiping you and remembering your son's death. We're thankful for your love for us and your word which teaches us to be prepared for judgment. We are thankful for the words of Paul that we dwelled on this morning that help us to realize that the purpose of this life is to prepare for an eternity with you. Mindful of those who are not able to be with us for sickness, we pray that you'll restore their health so they can be back with us once again. Please be with us as we strive to serve you. Please help us to keep our aim, our goal focused on you and to do what we can to help others see that way as well. Please watch over us and keep us safe. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.